Take your Bible, if you would, in Psalms chapter 14. Now, I hope you have a Bible with you this morning. I really don't. I can sit here and we can talk about fishing, hunting. It's all material. But what God says is important.
Amen.
Amen. God, what God says is important. We can all have our opinions. Amen. I told you what opinions are like. Opinions are like armpits. You got two of them and they both stink. Amen. I should have got amen there, but evidently not. Amen. That's all right. Amen, brother. That's okay. All right. This too shall pass. Amen. All right. Psalms chapter 14, verse 1. What does the Bible say here? The Bible tells us some things here. It says, "For the fool has said in their heart that there is no God." Yeah. I want to bring you a message this morning on the fool hath said. The fool hath said. Now, there's a lot of things. You know what? I was a fool. You say, you know, people don't like those type of words. They don't like those type of statements. Why? They're hurtful. We are thin-skinned. Our skin so anymore in this day and time is so thin you could blow smoke through it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when I was a kid, it was what you was. If you started acting goofy, they said, "Stop that, you retard." You say, "Whoa, call somebody a retard." That, you know, that's offensive. That's offensive to those people who have mentally challenged. No, we call them retards. Amen. My brother was a cripple. That's what he was. He was a cripple, brother. Had cerebral palsy. You know what we called him? Cripple. That's what he was. You know what some people are? They're fools. I was a fool. I was a fool. I was lost, without God, without hope in this world, headed to a devil's hell, and I rejected everything the Bible said. Couldn't stand God. Didn't want anything to do with God. That's the way it was. You know why I hated God? I hated God because He wouldn't heal my brother. I had a brother that was crippled, and I prayed to God as a little child, and I said, "God, if you would heal my brother up or give us a minute so that we can exchange places, let him have the ability to run around and play for a while, and then let me take it back, and we'll just do that, Lord. If you're God how you say you're God." You know what? I was a fool. I was a foolish little kid. Foolish words. I was a fool. And you know what? I was a fool, and I blamed God for it, and I hated God, didn't want anything else to do with God. After my daddy and them quit church, I said, "Well, my daddy ain't going to church. I ain't going to church. Bless God, there must be something to it, because my daddy's right." My daddy was Superman in my eyes. My daddy didn't make no wrong mistakes. You might want to remember that, Daddy. You might want to remember that, Daddy, when you're looking at your boy, because he is looking at you. I smoked because my daddy smoked. I drank because my daddy drank. I cussed because my daddy cussed. The way I lived my life was the way my daddy lived. And if you'd have said something against my daddy, I don't care how big you was, I'd have fought you. And there ain't a man in here that didn't love their daddy wouldn't do the same thing. But the fool has said. You know, there's some fools in the Bible, and I want to look at them this morning real quickly. I want to look at them, and I want to look at their foolishness. Now, take your Bible and turn with me. The first one I want to look at, way back over here in Genesis, and he has to do with two brothers. And one's named Cain, and the other one's named Abel. Now, if you don't know where to turn to in your Bible, and you're not used to reading your Bible, turn over to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and notice in verses 8, starting in verse 8, now we'll read this, and then we're going to pray. In verse 8, the Bible says, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were out in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Let's pray. Father God, we ask you bless now this message. Father God, not for my sake, but Father, for yours, that you get the honor and the glory out of it. And if there's someone in here today, Lord, Father God, that is just rebellious against you, Father, has a foolish notion towards you, Father, that you just work on their heart this morning and get it straightened out with them. And Father God, I pray you just convict them and show them their need for a Savior if they're lost. And if they're saved, God, I pray you bring them back into fellowship. And we ask these things now in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. All right, now here we have Cain and Abel. Now, if you know the story of Cain and Abel, it's famous. Even I can remember hearing about Cain and Abel when I was lost. You know, there's certain stories you get. You know, like David with the little sling and the giant. Now, you don't know all the whole thing, but you know David and the little sling. You knew Cain and Abel. You know, Cain kills his brother. You knew Noah and the ark. You got that one, you know. You know Jesus and the fishes because he fed the 5,000. You know that. I mean, you didn't have to go to church. You could hear them anywhere. And most of them, a lot of times, were the butt of a dirty joke. Yeah, I'll give you that one for a while. Oh, yeah, amen. That'll kind of give you the idea how I was raised, amen. But here we have Cain and Abel. Now, Cain and Abel are two brothers, and Cain rises up to kill Abel. Now, there's a lot going on in this story, and there's a lot going on between these two brothers that brings Cain to being such a fool. Because Cain was trying to bring an offering that he knew. Cain knew. He had heard the story. He knew that wasn't the right offering. But he was at odds with his brother, and he was not going to go get that lamb from his brother. And he was so adamant about his hatred toward his brother that he would rather die and go to hell and bring his fruit and his turnips than to get a lamb from his brother. You know what that is? That's a fool. That's a fool that goes to hell because of pride. God comes and talks to him. He says, well, if you do right, will you not be accepted? God come and talk to him. God himself came down and spoke to Cain. Said, if thou doest well, will thou not be accepted? If not, sin lieth at the door. And guess what? You'll be a servant to it. Take your Bible now and look at it. It says, Cain, time of pass. Verse 8, he come to pass. He rose up. He slew his brother. Now notice in verse 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And notice what Cain's response is, am I my brother's keeper? That's the lost world. That's the epitome of the lost world. Am I my brother's keeper? Why should I care? I just care about me. I don't even care about my brother. I don't care about nobody but me. Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? You know what that is? That's another mark of a fool. It's all about you. All about my happiness. All about what I want. About me, me, me. Have you ever heard that old country song? It's about me. It's about I. It's about number one. Oh, me, oh, my. Oh, don't act like y'all ain't never heard that. Bunch of sanctimonious. Y'all, I guarantee you, if I went out here and got the key from every individual in here and went out and cranked up your car and what the radio come on as soon as I hit that thing, that'd tell the tale, amen. Amen, amen. Yeah, most of y'all would be, he stopped loving her today. Some of you younger ones, it'd be, amen. But what it is Cain didn't care about anything but Cain. He was a fool. He had the marks of a fool. Marks of a fool is his pride will send him to hell. And he don't care nothing about anybody but himself. Cain takes his fruits, his vegetables. He knows it's not the right offering, and he brings them to God, and he tries to get God to buy into it. God says, I'm not accepting that. You know what people will do today? They'll come, and they'll try to make their own religion and say, you know what? I'll work it out with God when I get it. How many of y'all ever heard of, or as a lost man, did you ever say that? I'll work it out with God when I get there. God's love, and when I get there, me and God will talk and I'll work it out with Him. Yeah. I've said that. I have said that. You might not have said it, but I've said that. I'll work it out with God when I get there. He's a loving God. He'll understand. When I get there, He'll look at my good works. It'll be okay. And I'll just keep living the way I'm living because my righteousness on my own righteousness. Because that's what Cain was doing. He said, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to do it the way God says it's supposed to be done with a lamb. He's going to take my fruits and vegetables or He ain't going to take nothing because that's my work. That's my righteousness. And my righteousness is good as anybody else's righteousness. You know what that is? That's fool. Your righteousness is not good enough. My righteousness is not good enough. You've got to have a lamb.
Right. Amen.
That's a fool. Yeah. Fool is said in his heart. There's a lot of fools. Take your Bible now. Notice, no, I'll tell you another one. Look over in Samuel. I kind of talked about him this morning. Oh, Eli. Eli was a fool. Why? He was a fool in the fact that he would not control his children. Now, while you're looking at that, I got something to go with that on Cain. Take your Bible, hold your finger there in 1 Samuel. Go over to Psalms, Psalms chapter 5. I want to give you this. Psalms chapter 5 and verse 5. You know what happens with the fool? Here's what happens with the fool. Psalms chapter 5, verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. You want to be foolish all your life? You won't stand in the presence of God. Because God's not going to tolerate it. See, we come up with that God loves everybody. God loves, God does love. God is love. He says He is. Bible clearly says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the Lamb. The Lamb has been provided. God loved you enough to know that you're just like Cain. Every one of us in here were just like Cain. We'd have brought our turnips. We'd have brought our mustard greens. We'd have brought our grapes. We'd have brought everything, but we would not have brought a lamb. So God said, you know what? I'm going to make it simple. I love them. They're my creation. I'm going to provide them the lamb. All they got to do now is just accept the lamb. Amen. Just got to accept it. All you got to do is accept the lamb. Amen. Not a church, not a baptism. It don't matter. Not just the lamb. And you know people still won't do it? You know what that is? A fool. Fool ain't going to stand in the sight of God. They'll have all kinds of excuses. But God, those hypocrites. But God ain't going to want to hear about the hypocrites. God ain't asking you about the hypocrites. God said you got the lamb. Come on, Cain. I'm not asking you how hypocritical Abel was. I know you didn't like Abel. I know you didn't want to go over and talk to him. You'd rather cut your hand off than go ask your brother for a lamb. I understand that. But I'm not going to require that of you, Cain. I just want to know, do you have the lamb? And when you get there, friend, when you stand before God, all He's going to ask you one thing. You got the blood or no? If you ain't got the blood of that lamb, you ain't standing here. You say, what is it? That's a fool. You say, were you a fool? I was a fool. I was a big fool. I didn't get saved. March the 27th, 1995, I was 35 years old when I got saved. Wasted almost half of my life. What was you? A fool is what I was. I was a fool. I was walking around thinking I'm going to do it my own way. And hey, you know what? The party in hell, buddy. We're going to party in hell. Yeah. Ain't going to be no party in hell, friend. Ain't going to be no party in hell. I promise you that. How do you know that? Because I done lost too many friends that I know on the highway to hell, and ain't none of them partying. I tell you, one night we left a place, a juke joint. We was all drunk. Buddy of mine and his girlfriend take off. They leave, they're going down the road. It's a little bit wet, raining, Florida, typical type night. Dew on the ground, all that good jazz. They're coming down through there, and they hit, because of impaired driving, they hit a palm tree, a royal palm tree. When I talk about a royal palm tree, I'm talking about a big palm tree. And a palm tree don't move. Uncontrary to what you may think, a palm tree like you see these coconut trees. When a royal palm, you hit one of those at a good lick, you just messed up. That's all it is. The young lady was killed instantly. The young man who I know, worked with him for years, mangled up. You know what? Highway to hell. We was partying, drinking, man. Woo! Yeah, we're going to dance. We're going to juke. Man, we're having a great time. Get the phone call the next morning. Lori's dead. Leonard's in the hospital. Gone, just like that. Get a phone call one night, a buddy of mine named Tommy. Hit a bridge, doing about 70, 80. Killed him. Boom. What was he doing? Partying, man. Highway to hell. And I can give, man, that's just two. I could sit here and fill up the rest of this sermon this morning with just people, person after person after person after person that I run with, that I drank with, that I partied with. We would leave on a Friday night, not come home till Sunday, and make our round and hit every bar in South Florida that we could hit. We called it a road trip. Drank ourselves sober. Drank until I have woke up in South Florida in the heat, in the back seat of a car laying in vomit with the windows rolled up. Wonder God did. I don't know why God even let me live. In a hotel, come awake and be in the back seat of a car down in the floorboard laying in vomit. Everybody else is up in the hotel room because I wouldn't get out of the car for whatever reason because I was stupid. They left me in the car. They went up there and crashed out in the hotel. What? Partying, man. Highway to hell, baby. Fun times. Fool. And if I'd have died, I'd have busted hell right wide open. Wouldn't have stopped, wouldn't pass go, wouldn't have collect $200, wouldn't have done nothing. I'd have split hell wide open. Wouldn't been no partying either. I tell you, look over here at Samuel. Look at Samuel chapter 3, dealing with Eli. Eli, bad. Hey, listen, mom, dad. You want to be foolish about your child? You want to listen to Dr. Spock? You want to read these stupid books and follow their stupid advice and say, oh, well, you know, little Junior, he's got to make his own decisions. You know, we don't want to damage his ego. We don't want to paddle his behind. We'll just do time out. Oh, it's okay. All the kids have phones. Yeah, let's get them an Xbox. Let's get them hooked on that stuff. What are you? Fool! I said, man, preacher, you're awful mean. I'm just calling it straight. I'm calling it like I see it. Notice what the Bible says. Eli. Notice the Lord. He comes and he talks to, he calls out for Samuel. And he wants old Samuel and he gets Samuel's attention. Now look in Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Start in verse 11. Now follow with me now. Don't run off on me. Get there and read it with me. I'm going to show you what happens as a parent. Now you see what God says about Eli. Now Eli was a priest that loved God. There's no doubt in my mind that Eli didn't love God. He loved God. But he was not willing to control his children. Now notice what he says in verse 11. That's the Lord speaking now. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel. You hear me, Samuel? I'm going to do a thing in Israel. I'm going to do something in Israel at which the ears of every one of them that heareth will tingle. God said, I'm going to do something, son. It's going to upset everybody, boy. You watch this. And what he says, and in that day I will perform against Eli all the things of which I have spoken concerning his house when I began. I will also make an end. For I have told him. Who's the him? Eli. God said, I told Eli. This is not something Eli don't know. This is not going to be a surprise for Eli. Eli knows all about it. Parent, listen to me. God tells you and he warns you through preaching, through other individuals. He warns you again and again and again. You are out without excuse. Eli was without excuse. Eli had no excuse. He wasn't going to go crying to God and say, God, that's not fair. God said, I told him. In that day, I told him, verse 13, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity, which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and what? He restrained them not. You know what Eli was? He was a fool. He was a fool that sent his boys to hell. He was a fool that not only sent his boys to hell, but destroyed his whole family lineage. Parent, mom, dad. You think, well, it's, you know, they got to grow up, they got to live their own life. You better make sure they grow up right. Because it's going to be your responsibility. Eli is 98 years old and God's still holding him responsible. You follow me? He's 98 years old. His boys are grown and the Lord is blaming him. Say what you want, make all the excuses you want, make all the point the fingers you want, but you will answer. Amen. You know what Eli was? He was a fool. He was a fool. Take your Bible and look over at Proverbs. Let's back it up with what Proverbs says. Proverbs chapter 20. Bible with Bible. Oh, preacher, you're just mean, you're hateful. No, I'm not. I'm truthful. Why? Because I have my own ships. Because remember, I didn't get saved till I was 35. I got my oldest daughter sitting right there. Krista, raise your hand, baby. I was lost when she was born. I was lost. I was a lost man. Lost when Shelly. Lost with Kelly. She's not here. I was lost. Guess what? Those kids reaped what I had sown in their life, the troubles and the heartaches and some of the things that they've been through. Me. So if I ain't cutting me no slack, bless God, I'm not going to cut you none. Amen. Amen. Notice in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure or whether they be right. So you can judge somebody by their child. I guarantee you, I promise you right now, you let me have your child for a day, an afternoon, and I can tell you what kind of household you got just by hanging around them. I'll just take them out for lunch. We'll talk. I can tell you exactly what kind of house they grow up in. Amen. They're known by what they're doing. Take your Bible now and turn with me. Turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Now, this is Bible, not Brother Jay's opinion. My opinion is not like armpits. I got two of them and they both stink. Notice verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Bible clearly tells you the way you train a child up is the way it'll go. You let that child do whatever it wants to, let it go, let it be whatever it wants to, you let it find itself. You want to be one of them free-range parents would just let them go and, you know, out there and they're frolicking through like the 60s or something. You want to do that, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a hellion. You know whose fault it's going to be? Yours. Amen, amen. Thank you very much. Look at verse 15. Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's a natural occurrence for a child to be foolish. Right. It's natural. It's a child. But what does the Bible say? But a rod of correction will drive it from him. Oh, preacher, we'll call DHS on you. I didn't say beat him like he was beating somebody in a bar room. Rod of correction on his behind. Paddle his butt. Oh, Dr. Spock says, no, that's a no-no. You'll hurt his emotional growth. He'll be stunted. Bo, you can't spank this boy. You'll hurt him. He'll never grow up. Hey, listen. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians believe that. No, you can't spank a child. Shouldn't spank a child. Yeah, you should spank a child. It's called correction. Say, I don't like that. Your problem is with the Bible, not with me. Because I just told you what the Bible says. Now, you can go, hey, listen, it's America. It's a free country. Help yourself. That and 20 bucks will buy you a new shirt. You can live any way you want. But I want to promise you this. However you live is how you'll reap and sow. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Eli reaping. You know what Eli was? He was a foolish parent. Take your Bible. Let's move on. We ain't got time to stay here. Take your Bible and turn over to Numbers. You say, preacher, there's so many of them in here, man, I ain't got time to do all of them. Look over in Numbers chapter 16. Here we got a group of people, Nathan, Coram, and Nabiah. You know what they want to do? They want to rebel against God and do it their way. I can just see them now singing Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. You want to do it your way? Tell you what, you do it your way and spite God and not do what God tells you to do the way God says to do it, and you'll bust hell wide open. You know what? You'll die a fool. You know what Frank Sinatra was? Frank Sinatra was a fool. If he did not get saved, he was a fool. Any man that will die without Christ is a fool. Especially in America. When you have liberty. Nobody's going to kill you. You're not like in a Muslim country where if you accept Christ, you're certain death. I'm talking about in the good old U.S. of A. Got Bibles, man. You can't sling a dead cat without hitting a church in the South. Got a Bible in every dollar store. And the Lord knows they're growing dollar stores up here better than they can grow corn in a field. And you can go in any dollar store and you can get you a 10-cent, not, well, they ain't dime no more, but a dollar Bible. And you can read the words of God freely and nobody's going to pressure you. And you just reject Jesus Christ, you're a fool. You say, I don't like that. May not like it, it's still true. There's a lot of things I don't like. I don't like taxes, but I still got to pay them. Hey, I don't like having to buy a hunting license, but I still got to do it. I don't like having, hey man, there's a lot of things I don't like. I don't like having to get a driver's license. I don't like being told I got to wear a seatbelt. And I've got a son-in-law sitting over there who's a cop. I don't like told I got to have a permit to wear a gun. There's a lot of things I don't like. Tell me you don't like, I don't like that. Well, you're still a fool. Amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's time people just need to quit just pussyfooting around. Call it what it is. Say what it is. It is what it is. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're a fool. You die and go to hell, you're a fool. Man, you've got to be a fool. You got a free gift from God, and you're going to reject it and throw it away and say, you know what, I think I'll just go on to hell. Boy, ain't right. Amen. Take your Bible. Notice Nathan Coram and Abiram. Notice in number 16, they want to do it their way. Look in verse 5. And he spake to Coram, and he said unto his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. In other words, tomorrow now, Coram, you're saying you're just as good. The way you're doing it is as good as the way God's laid out. We'll tell you what you do. We'll let God decide. You get in front of your tent tomorrow, and God will bring us up here, and we'll let him sort it out. Now, it's kind of like the old Marine Corps say. Marine Corps says, kill them all, let God sort them out. And that's the way he's doing it. He said, come on up here, y'all just come on up, and we'll let God sort this thing out. Why? Because they thought the way they were doing it was as good as anything else. You know what people believe today? People believe, they actually believe that however I worship is just as good as anybody else. No, it's not. God lays out his salvation plan. God lays out what he'll accept and what he won't accept. God lays out perfectly in the Bible. But the problem is you've got to read the book to know. And if you refuse to read the book and you just go on your merry way, guess what? You're going to be like Nathan, Coram, and Abiram. You're going to be a fool and God's going to consume you. You say, well, if I'm saved, he won't. No, I didn't say you were going to go to hell. If you're saved, you're not going to go to hell. But you ain't going to live a happy life and you definitely ain't going to get no blessings from God. Amen, amen, amen. I should have got amen on that, at least from my crew. I must be hitting close to home. Notice what the Bible says here. He says, and put fire therein in the censers. In other words, the whole deal was is where they were getting the fire from. See, Coram and them, they're just grabbing the fire. God says, no, there has to be a specific way to get that fire, and it's got to be put in a censer the right way. Now, notice how he goes on. He says, but put the fire therein and put the incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy, whoever God chooses. Ye take too much upon you. ye sons of Levi. In other words, these sons of Levi, now I'm going to give you a quick Bible lesson in case you don't know it, because probably some of y'all in here are not Bible readers, but that's okay, amen. The Levites were the priest. They were the chosen children to be the priest and take care of the things in the altar. And what had happened was, is just like a lot of preachers, of which I are one, they got a little too big for their britches. You know what a preacher can do? He can get a little too big for his britches. I never want to get too big for my britches. I want to call it straight. Straight down the line. Now, I do not, I'm sorry, folks. I know people like a lot of preachers that use flowery speech and they, you know, have, they're real good and they're articulate. I'm not that. I'm just plain. I've worked construction all my life. That's all I've ever known is construction guys. I've been on construction sites. That's all the kind of people I know. I just got plain. I try to be pretty. My wife dresses me, tries to make me dress right. I still got dirt under my fingernail. I know my hands are getting soft because, you know, now they got me sitting in front of a computer more than out there on the floor anymore. But I just got plain speech. But I hope to God I never get too big for my britches. I want to be humble in the sight of God. I want to be used of God. I want to preach God's word until He calls me home. And that's all. I don't want a pat on the back. I don't want no glory. I want Him to be high and lifted up. The problem with Nathan, Byram, and Korah and all them is they had got too big for their britches. And you know what? They'd become fools.
Right.
Religious fools. So you can be a fool in a church. You can be a fool in a religious organization. Here, they're right in the religious organization, and they're still a fool. Take your Bible with me now. They're going to do it their way. Their way's the better way. No, you got to do it God's way. Doesn't matter, man. I told you, my opinion, your opinion don't matter. What does God say? It's the book, it's the book, it's the book, it's the book, it's the book.
Right.
Can't say it enough, can't say it loud enough, can't say it long enough. It's what Jesus Christ said. It's what the Bible said. It doesn't matter, man. I could think, hey, listen, I don't care what color the carpet is. Why? Because it's not in the book. I don't care if the pews are cushioned or not. Why? Because it's not in the book. Have them any way you want. What color do you want to paint the church? I don't care. As long as it's not pink, please. I might have spoke just a little too soon. I apologize. As long as it's not pink. But I don't care. Why? Because it's not in the book. But now, if you want to sing a song, there's a certain way it needs to be sung. If you want to come up here on this pulpit, there's a certain way you need to be dressed. If you want to teach a Sunday school class, there's a certain accountability you have to hold. Amen. Those things are important. Rest of it, okay, doesn't matter. We'll do it any way you want. Blue carpet, red carpet. Pews padded, not padded. AC or no AC. But when it comes to things of God, need to get serious about them, need to be serious about them, and need to put effort in them to do them right according to the book.
Amen.
Not according to the preacher, because the preacher, listen, I can mess up. And you know what? I thank God I've got men in this church that go, hey, preacher, that ain't right. And I can get right, apologize, and we can go on. Why? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. God is the hierarchy, not me. I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a servant. No more, no less. Now notice here, Nathan, Korah, and Byram, they got too big for their britches. Take your Bible now, look over in Jeremiah. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 7. We've got to hurry up. I've got a couple more. I want to get through them. Jeremiah chapter 7. I know I've been hollering and screaming and jumping and running, and I'm trying not. It's just my nature. I get loud. When something I am passionate about, I get loud. My wife says, why are you so angry? I said, I'm not angry. I just get loud. Because I'm passionate about it. Have you ever been passionate about something? You know, you get into... Krista goes, oh, that's what your problem was all those years. You were just passionate. But I do. I get passionate. I get loud. And so I get passionate about a thing. I get passionate about God. I get loud. I want to get my point across. I want to make sure you hear it. I want to drive the point home. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you." Notice what the way I have commanded you. Not Coram, not Nathan, not Abiam, not what they thought, not their opinions, not their assumptions on the way God says to do it. He said, in the way that I commanded you. Plain. Straightforward. God laid it exactly out how He wanted it done. He says, you do that. And He said, I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. And it what? In the end of it, it says, and it may be well unto you. Follow God, and it will be well unto you. Just that plain. Not hard. Everybody want to make it hard. Everybody says, oh man, we got to do something. It's like salvation. Salvation is so free. It's so easy. But people can't stand it. They've got to add something to it. I've got to add works. I've got to do this. Well, if I accept Jesus Christ, then I've got to work to be saved and keep it. No, you don't. See, everybody wants to add, so it wants to make it harder than it is. It is so simple. That's why God gives it to you. He lays it out. Lays it out plain. Plain and without, I mean, it's just so simple. It's a child can do it. And the problem is it's so simple, most adults make it complicated. Yeah. Take your Bible. Now, just real quick, we'll do a side thing real quick. Go over to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to show you how easy it is. Now, this is salvation in a nutshell. Easy, as simple as I can make it. This is how easy salvation is. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, I'm going to start reading in verse 9. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, everybody knows what your mouth is, right? Pretty simple. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart. Everybody knows where your heart is, right? Okay. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. What? Ta-da! That's too simple, preacher. Doesn't matter what I think. I'm not to add to or take from. I'm just reading it. Why? For the heart, man believeth. And then unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's it. Salvation. And that's it, folks. You can't get no simpler than that. It's not in a church. It's not in a baptism. It's not in whether your mamma was there. It's not. I got saved in a preacher's office in front of his desk. I called that old preacher. I was on shift. I said, preacher, I got to talk to you. He said, sure, come by the church tomorrow. I wanted to go now. He made me wait a whole day. I told him, I said, you left me in hell for 24 hours. I said, that ain't right. I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He said, you didn't tell me what you wanted. I said, don't matter. You're a preacher. You're supposed to know. And I got there that next afternoon, and I sat down in front of him, and I said, man, he said, something's got to give. Something has got to give. I've got to have some relief. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. Listen, folks, by this time my age, I'm 35, I'm not running around with a bunch of 20-year-olds bar hopping. Those days are past. I'm 35 years old. I'm settled in. I'm working. I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sick and tired of life, not having no joy, not having nothing. Just go to work, come home, go to sleep, go to work, come home, go to sleep, go to work, come home, go to sleep. That's it. No joy. No, nothing. No fellowship with God. No, listen, I had to have something on in my room for me to sleep. I had to have a noise. I had to have something, a fan, radio, something. Why? Because if I didn't have something and it was perfectly quiet, my mind would start going. And see, at this time, 35, we were married. I was working with the fire department part-time. I had gotten my EMT license, and I was working with the fire department down there at Palm Beach County Fire Rescue. And on the weekends, I would go over and ride the paramedics, ride with the paramedics on the rescue trucks. And so you're running these calls. And you get out there on these calls, and, you know, some of them are fatalities, some of them are not. But, you know, nobody's in real good shape if a rescue truck shows up. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, no matter how it turns out, they're not going to be feeling good. They're not going to jump out of the car and go, hey. And so you would look at these people, and you'd see the condition they're in. And you'd think, in your mind, you'd go, is this all there is? Is this all there is to life? Is this the best that it's going to be? The hope that I may die in a car crash in agony and pain? Is there nothing beyond that? Is there nothing beyond that point? Is there nothing, man? I mean, what else is there? There has to be something else. Right? There's got to be more. See? You become sick and tired, and just wears on you, man. So at 35, I called that priest. I said, sure. I said, come on by. Got in there, man, and got in that office and sat down with him. And he opened that Bible. And he walked me through Romans Road, showed me what the scripture says. And I said, man, I need that. That's what I need.
Yep.
Now listen, folks. Listen. Right. There wasn't no tears. There wasn't no big euphoria thing. You know what it was for me? When I walked out of that office, it was like a load had been set off.
I'm free.
Yeah. I'm free. I had a load. The grass looked a little greener. The sky looked a little, but there wasn't no, you know, no starry blinding light or wasn't none of that. It was just like, praise God. And I went home. And I could turn the fan off. I could turn the radio off, brother. I could lay down and sleep and just put my head on that pillow, man. I just lay down. I just sleep. And you know what? I went to that church, and I got in that church, and I started learning Bible. And the more Bible I learned, man, the easier my sleep got. I'm telling you right now, you can ask my wife. I can put my head on a pillow, and I'll be out in 5 minutes. Is that not true? You know why? Because I don't worry. I refuse to worry. I worried for 35 years. I ain't worrying no more.
Right.
One day I'm gonna come to the end of my road. And when I come to the end of that road, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to step from this place to the next. I'll be more alive then than I am now. Amen. Let's move on real quick in a hurry. We got Ananias and Sapphira. Let's look over in Acts. Here we got a couple of religious fools. Here, these individuals thought they could lie to the Holy Ghost of God. Now, notice in Acts chapter 5, we got to hurry. Oh, yeah, we got to hurry. Acts chapter 5, got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Yeah, y'all know what that one was. Hey, okay, I see the giggles on that one. Y'all knew that. Okay, the truth's coming out. Acts chapter 5, you didn't have to, brother, I heard you. All right, Acts chapter 5. Now notice here with Acts chapter 5 and verse, but there was a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, who sold a possession. They sold something that belonged to them, which is 100% fine. There's nothing wrong with selling something that belongs to you. It belongs to you, right? You can sell it. So they sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price. And his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You know what Ananias was? He was a fool. He was a fool. You can't lie to God. Let me tell you something, friend. You can't lie to God. Don't even try to lie to God. Best thing you can do is fall down on your face and confess whatever it was you did. If you were going to play chess with God, the best move you could make was to take your king and lay it over on its side at the first move. Why? Because you done lost. Because you're not going to beat God. The problem most people have is this is their problem. Their problem is oh yeah, they got caught, but I'm smarter than that. Yeah, they got caught. Yeah. You've heard it. You know. Listen, you do that. That's why people keep robbing banks. Why would you rob a bank? Everybody, they get caught. Yeah, but I won't get caught. I know what I'm going to do. I've got it figured out. And that's exactly how you are about sin. Oh, I'm not going to get caught. I've got it figured out. I won't do it like this so that they'll know. I'll go over here and I'll go all the way out of town and I'll go up to Knoxville where nobody knows me, and then I'll do whatever I'm going to do, and then, you know, and then that way nobody will know, brother, and I'm covered. And you think God ain't in Knoxville? You think God, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why bars are dark. Yep. You ever notice that? Bars are always dark. You ever been in a bar at 3 o'clock, you know, last call for alcohol? The bartender goes, hey, last call for alcohol. You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. They flip the lights on. And that romantic glow that was in there, man, the lights come on and there's stains all over the carpet, man, and the tables, and it's just a nasty dirt hole. Why? Because men love darkness. That's why you go parking in the dark with your girlfriend when you was a kid. No. Take her up, though. No. Take her up there to the Lover's Leap. It's dark. Amen, amen, amen. You know what Ananias and them, they thought they could lie to God. Yep. You can't lie. If you think you can lie to God, you're a fool.
Right.
You're just a straight-up fool. Might as well call it what it is. You know what? You're a fool. Ananias says, when it was yours. Now, he said, notice verse 4. He said, while it remained, was it not thine to own? In other words, that's a question. After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this in thine heart, that thou hast to lie, not lied unto men, but unto God? He's saying, listen, it was yours when you sold it. You could have kept the money. You didn't have to bring and give it. But what you did is you brought some of it, and you lied to God and said you brought all of it. But you kept some of it back. You lied to God. I sold it for $10,000, but I bring $5,000 and give it to God and say, that's what I sold it for, God. And you still got $5,000 in your pocket. Why didn't you just say, God, I brought half?
Yeah.
Just be honest.
Yeah.
It was yours. It was your money. What are you? You're a fool.
Yeah.
Fool. That's a Christian fool. I'm talking about Ananias, born again. Christian, you can be saved and be a fool.
Right.
Amen, amen, amen. See, he thought I was only getting on the lost people, see. You can be saved and be a fool.
Right. Amen.
Hey, I'm going to show you the biggest fool of all now. Now notice, real quick, while we're here, look over in Galatians chapter 6. I've already quoted it a couple of times, but we'll look at it real quick. You should know it here by heart in this group. Galatians 6:7, but you can see it written in the book. Now notice what God says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to underline that. Because it doesn't say lost man or saved man. It says whosoever. That's anybody. You can be saved on your way to heaven, and if you sow the bad things, you'll reap bad things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to mock God. You play around with God, and God will fix your little red wagon for you, boy, real quick. Now, last one, real quick. Look in Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to show you the biggest fool of all. The fool of fools. The king of fools. Matthew chapter 26, his name is Judas. The fool is said in his heart. Matthew chapter 26, notice in verse 14. 26:14, real quick. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me if I deliver him unto you? Man, what a fool. Going to sell a brother out. We always had a thing, no matter what, even if I didn't like you, if we were out together and we got into a fight or anything, even if I didn't like you, we came in together, we leave together, or we don't leave. That was just a rule of thumb when we were growing up. I may never go out with you again, but if we went in together, we come out together. And I had a buddy, he would start a fight at the drop of a hat. Brother, he would. He would start a fight at the... Mike Maynard was his name. Loved him dead. He was a Tennessee boy. And Mike Maynard, if he got about three beers in him, he was going to fight something. And I got to where his wife would call me. Jay, can you go get Mike, find him, bring him home? I'll try. Because he'd just as soon fight me as he would anybody else. And I done told him the last time we got in the scrap, I said, we ain't fighting no more, big boy. I said, I will find something and knock you in the back of the head when you ain't looking at me. But he would. He would fight at the drop of a hat. He'd fight anything. You know what he was? He was a fool. He got saved.
Amen.
Yeah. But you know what had to happen for him to get saved? Him and a girl named Mary Brown were coming back from West Palm Beach. They were on Southern Boulevard coming back. Rainy night. Typical Florida. Always raining in Florida. I don't know why they call it the Sunshine State.
Yeah.
It rains all the time. Yeah, I don't know why they do, brother. It rains all the time. It does. They've been drinking, both of them, heavily. Also other narcotics, bad for smoking dope and everything else. And this is back when pills were real popular and cocaine and all that good stuff. Anyway, he wrecks, hits a telephone pole. Hits a telephone pole sideways on Mary's side. Mary ends up a quadriplegic from her neck down. Mike survives. She was pregnant, lost the baby. They were in love. We're going to get married. But Mike, being the fool that he was and the scoundrel that he was, because what had happened to her, she was damaged goods now, so he left her. Mary's still alive. Mike's still alive. Remarried. Finally got saved. But it took him a few years. Had to go through a few more things. You know what that is? A fool. Fool. You want to still be a fool? God can be a hard taskmaster, friend. I'm going to tell you, God can be a hard taskmaster. Get your attention. He'll take things you love from you. He'll keep you from having things you desire. He can be a hard taskmaster to get your attention, to get you back in line. Here, old Judas. Judas is looking at the dollar. The almighty dollar. We Americans, we love that thing. We love a dollar, buddy. Man, oh man. He's looking at the dollar. What will you give me if I betray him, if I bring him to you? What are you going to give me? What can you give me? All right, that's what we say. The fool of betrayal. He goes on down there, 14, he says, 15, they said unto him, what will you give me if I deliver him unto you? Verse 15, they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. They're going to get 30 pieces of silver. That's what he's going to get. And from that time on, he sought the opportunity to betray him. Now, I want you to notice that he sought from that time on. Now, the God's going to God's even going to give Judas a warning. Follow with me. Let's go down a few more verses. All right, now you look here, we just read that. Now jump down to 24. Now notice what, this is the Lord. The Son of Man goeth as it was written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. There's his warning. Judas is without excuse. Judas said, nobody warned me. There's your warning right there. He said, but woe unto that man that's betrayed. And you know what that fool did? He went right on with his betrayal. You know what people will do today? They'll go right on with their betrayal. You know, I when I'm street preaching, I'll ask, I'll say, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with that man called Christ? Why? Because one day you're going to be asking, what will he do with me? Because see, one day you're going to be standing in his hands. And you're going to ask him, what are you going to do with me, Lord? Well, you rejected me, so I'm going to have to reject you and I'm going to throw you in hell. That's what I'm going to do with you. Because you was a fool. Notice what he says there. He says, woe unto them. But that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. It's better not to have been born than to end up in hell. That's how bad hell is.
Right.
You want a correlation how bad hell's going to be? Ain't going to be no party. It would be better if you just hadn't have been. It'd been better for you to have been an abortion. than to be born and reject Jesus Christ. Because that's what you're going to face. What, then he says, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? What a foolish question. The lost man asked, but God, you're going to do that to me? Is it I? You know how many buddies I had? We would sit and talk. We'd be half three sheets in the wind, man. We'd be talking. Well, I believe. You know, God, he's like a good old boy. You know, we're all gonna get around there. You know, we're all gonna work it out when we get there. God, you know, God's a good person, man. He's a good old boy. Jesus, man, everybody loves Jesus. Jesus would have been a cowboy. That's what I hung around with, rednecks, sorry. That's what I hung around with. They were rednecks. And they would make these stupid statements. Oh, yeah, we're going to party, man. Oh, Willie and Waylon, them going to be up there. We're going to have a bottle of Jack Daniels, man. We'll be passing it around. We'll be singing Amazing Grace in heaven. They really believe that. They're fools. You know what Judas really believed? I really believe Judas thought that he could betray the Lord, get that money, and that Jesus would get off. I really believe he thought he could get by, because when he realized he didn't get off, and realized what he'd done, he betrayed innocent blood, said he throwed the money back down and went out and hung himself. Too late. Listen, friend, there's a point of departure. There's a point of cutoff. There's a point where you're not going to have a chance. After that, Judas could have repented from then on. Too late. Too late. You say it's never too late. Yes, it's too late. You can get to the point that it's too late. I thank God. I pray to God, I wish I would have gotten saved sooner. But I thank God I got saved when I did. Why? Because I believe it would have got too late real quick. Stand with me, we'll get a song. Listen, if you're in here this morning, every